1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Heavy rain in Houston, part of a band of severe weather that's included a possible tornado and evacuations. We have more from Chris Fox.
It's the biggest flood in Houston since Hurricane Harvey in 2017. Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo calling for mandatory evacuations around the East Fork area of the San Jacinto River.
Streetside structures will have rooftop flooding. The water will be hitting power lines, which puts our emergency evacuation vehicles at risk.
By 3 p.m., there had already been 9 water rescues. Houston Mayor John Whitmire making an appeal to any agencies with resources.
Our divers are here, our high water vehicles. The city of Houston is doing everything it can.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
I-95, the major highway from New England into New York, is closed down in Connecticut after a tanker fire damaged a bridge overpass. And Governor Ned Lamont says repairs are going to take a while.
The bridge was damaged. The heat from the burning fuel compromised some of the bridge. So that bridge is going to have to come down.
Lamont says the hope is to at least reopen the interstate by Monday morning. It's taking bulldozers to clean up the campus of UCLA after police broke up a protest encampment there. CBS News correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti says there is now increased security on campus.
A pro-Palestinian encampment set up by students 1 week ago was declared unlawful by the university Tuesday night.
This is an attack on democratic rights. This is outrageous.
More than 200 people were arrested, arms zip-tied behind their backs and led away.
We need to resist. We need to keep protesting, and that's the only way change will be made.
Joshua Dean, a Boeing whistleblower who raised concerns about one of the carrier's suppliers ignoring production defects, has died suddenly. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula has more.
His family says he was in good health until 2 weeks ago when he was hospitalized after testing positive for influenza, MRSA, and pneumonia. Dean raised concerns about defects while working at Spirit in 2022 and was fired less than a year later.
And that death of Dean follows 2 months after another employee who sounded the alarm about Boeing died by alleged suicide. At the White House, President Biden stopping by an event sponsored by his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, honoring teachers.
You are the future. You provided for us. So I just came by to say thank you. I'm going to get the hell out of here. Thank you.
A European court has ruled that Italy's right to seize the prized Greek statue from the J. Paul Getty Museum in California was the right thing to do, part of Italy's cultural heritage. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Amtrak will start a second passenger train route between St. Paul and Chicago later this month. The Borealis trains begin service on the 21st. The new trains follow the current Empire Builder route between St. Paul and Milwaukee and the Hiawatha stops between Milwaukee and Chicago. There'll be 8 stops in Wisconsin. Donald Trump telling a Waukesha rally Wednesday he supports the law enforcement crackdown on the pro-Palestinian protest encampment at UW-Madison.
To every college president, I say remove the encampments immediately, vanquish the radicals, and take back our campuses for all of the normal students who want a safe place from which to learn.
Police say 34 people were arrested, but only 4 of them went to jail. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Pacers 120-98 despite injuries to his knee and Achilles. Damian Lillard scored 28 points in 35 minutes of play. Head coach Doc Rivers.
It was tough. because you want them on the floor. But you also knew that it may take a minute, and in a playoff game six, you probably don't have that minute. And I just love the fact that he knew he wasn't 100%. There's a lot of players that wouldn't have played. So just more respect for Dame coming from me. But the fact that he just wanted to be out there with his guys is pretty cool.
The Bucks finished the regular season with a record of 49-33, 2-4 in the postseason. Damian Lillard.
You play an entire 82-game season. You go through training camp. You go through all the ups and downs of a NBA regular season, and you get to the point where, all right, now we're going to play for everything, and you're not whole. You know, you don't have the best opportunity to reach where you want to reach. So it's frustrating. It's disappointing, but, you know, it's part of the game.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers and thunderstorms will eventually wind down here in the overnight, mid-40s by daybreak. Sunshine returning for your Friday. Highs near the 70-degree mark. West winds on the breezy side. Friday night, mostly clear and mid-40s. Currently 49 degrees.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next program, we'll talk with Dalia Saba from Students for Justice in Palestine about the protest at the UW.
The John and Gordy Show on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Kelvin Putinoff, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text at the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also download the wonderful and absolutely free Civic Media app, and that allows you to listen to whatever show, whatever station all across the state, across the vast Civic Media Radio Network, and then you can actually call and text in directly to that show from the app. So go to your app store. It's completely free, the Civic Media app. Coming up at 11:33, he joins us every other Thursday for some sports, all things sports balls. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here at 11:33. Right now, though, we are very excited to go, once again, beyond the cheese.
We did it.
Smooth. That was smooth, guys. Nice.
Guys, do not include me.
Whatever. We are delighted to be joined by Eric Knutson from the Delafield Brewhouse. Good morning, Eric. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations on 25 years at the Delafield Brewhouse. Have you been involved with them since the very beginning?
I joined the brew house about a year after my wife and I came over from another local restaurant in the area. We've been here for, the better part of 24 years.
That's amazing. Greg and I were talking just a little bit earlier about, I can remember when you guys first opened, because it was kind of a novelty at that point, right? In what, 1999?
Yep, 1999. So May 3rd, 99 is our 25th anniversary. And literally, I guess, the brew pub movement was just getting underway. I think there was only a small handful of them in the state. Now I think we're nearing almost 300.
Wow.
And the climate has just changed. Yesterday we were honored by State Representative Cindy Duco. She gave us a plaque commemorating our 25th anniversary, and we had a great conversation about what the southeast corner of I-94 and 83, so we're just a few minutes from downtown Delafield, what that looked like. And while going through some old pictures, I came across an old aerial, and there just simply wasn't
nothing out there.
Lots. Yeah, exactly.
That,
so this was quite a undertaking.
Yeah, that whole area of 94 as you head into Delafield towards Madison, I mean,
I feel like, you know, I remember when it was farmland, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it was the Smiley Barn and the Shoney's. That was it.
Right.
And
right,
now exactly. It's vibrant. It's, you can, I mean, there's so much going on down that area. And I remember seeing that being like, not what's a brew house, but I was like, huh, a brew house. And that was back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Well, it really was pretty visionary at that time.
Absolutely. They built, you know, it's not a small facility.
No.
It's big. You know, we seat 300 people in the main restaurant. We've got a banquet facility for 200 downstairs. The patio seats 100. So they went, you know, they didn't hold back at all. Again, just being the first brew pub in Lake Country, there was a lot of hoopla about it. You know, this, again, the new trend starting. There was an old photo I came across also for Governor Thompson was here during construction. So, yeah, this was really something. This is, that all kind of legitimizes us after all these years becoming, you know, Lake Country's cornerstone restaurant and brewery.
I mean, that's a great slogan, too. First in Lake Country. That's.
Yeah.
And with so many, like, you know, people moving into businesses and, you know, small businesses can close and succeed back and forth. The idea of just looking at a plot of land and saying, this is what we're going to build. I mean, I've been to that place a few times. I went to a wedding there. It's just a fantastic location, and it is very, very beautiful. It's just very, very nice. I love it.
Yeah, it's majestic. It's a grand building sitting up on top of the hill. Mm-hmm. And the four original owners, they were visionaries. They built the building because they just had a love and a passion for beer.
Yeah.
And they wanted to have something really literally in their own backyards where they could bring friends and family.
If you're just joining us, we are going beyond the cheese. We are celebrating the Delafield Brewhouse with Eric Knutson. They are celebrating their 25th anniversary. And it just so happens, if you're looking for a good deal, we're in Wisconsin. Who doesn't like a good deal?
I love a great deal.
Go to waukradio.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and you can get a certificate for the Delafield Brewhouse. It's worth $40. You can pick it up for $28.
That's a deal.
So again, go to WAUK Radio, look for the Big Deals tab on the top and click on that, and that will take you there. And there's wonderful, wonderful deals there.
Jane, Eric, Cal, you got to excuse me. I'm going to go do some shopping real quick. I got deals to get.
We love a deal in Wisconsin, Eric. Everybody loves a deal, right?
For sure, for sure. And we've got all sorts of fun things going on. We really started celebrating back, January 1 with monthly raffles. This week, we're holding a special raffle each day, and it I guess the highlight would be Friday, the 3rd. That's our true anniversary date. We're giving away trip to Germany, a $2,500 travel.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. So all the raffle tickets that we've been collecting over the last 5 months will be in this hopper, and someone's going to win a pretty nice trip.
Eric, how many beers do you produce now? I would imagine things have changed since 1999, even just as far as, you know, what flavors you're coming up with. I'm always amazed by the things that the combinations that get put together.
Yeah, no, it really has changed. You know, back in the day, there was a lot of mackerel breweries, obviously Pabst, Miller, Schlitz, that kind of thing.
Never heard.
And you know, right, exactly, small breweries. But the like the import, you know, the import craze. There was bottles of imports, and then the brew pubs came along. And I remember having, I guess, my first craft beer was from Capital Brewery in Amber. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, this is just the greatest thing since, you know, sliced bread. and then to be working now at a brewery. And Jane, your question, yeah, we started out with 5 year year round brews. We have an amber, our dockside ale, Pewaukee Porter, some Rosite white beer, and then the Nagawicket Pale Ale. But now you can find anywhere from 15 to 16 different brews on tap.
Wow,
So we've really expanded our portfolio, dove into fruit beers. There's a lot of barrel aging going on right now. And, you know, back in the day, we couldn't sell a hoppy beer. Nobody had the palate for it. Now, if we don't have four or five of them on tap at all times, people look at us like, you know, what's going on here? So, yeah, things have really evolved. They really have.
Eric, I used to work for Lakefront Brewery, and one of the things, you know, is like, is the idea of the hoppy beer, but now they're like, I want the sour beer. They want the giving you more bitter and robust. And one of the things that I do love about the brew house, and I think you're doing it right, especially with the explosion of the craft beer industry, is that you focused attention on your go-tos. You've got your year rounds, your dye in the wools. They're ready to go. They're some people's regular beers. And then you expand it. I feel like there's a lot of microbreweries were like, we're going to try 38 different kinds. And you're like, but which one is good all the time? So I think that's a very important aspect is like, you know, you get your starting lineup.
Yeah.
And then you start drafting more.
Right.
No pun intended.
Right. Yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you.
You're 100% correct on that. Yeah. Just don't try to, accommodate every palate, just, you know, focus on what you do well. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think we have done a good job on that.
Yeah, you're going to drive yourself crazy trying to appeal to every single person's specific taste, right? That's almost impossible.
Yeah, we do go off the beaten path a little bit.
Absolutely.
Our head brewer, Bill Weissel, he brewed a peanut butter porter, which was outstanding.
I'll be there in 20 minutes.
We also... Yeah, and we also, at the time, we had a strawberry ale on tap. So he came up with the idea of serving, you know, a pint of the porter and then a small glass of the strawberry. And you don't, you know, drink them simultaneously,
right,
but one sort of after the other.
Yeah.
And it tastes just like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So, yeah, we like to have a little fun with it, too. So that's one example.
Well,
and the barrel aging side of things, just want to mention too, we've got a Belgian quad coming out on Friday.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sorry, Bill used Driftless Glen. We bought some old whiskey barrels from them from the distillery in Baraboo. And this beer has been aging for 18 months, excuse me. So it's just going to be one of those really, really big beers at probably almost 11% ABV. Definitely a sipping beer. that's another trademark brew coming up. That's not something you pick up a six pack and go listen, or go watch the ball game.
Right.
That's almost after dinner style. Yeah.
It's something to be savored. Speaking of things to savor,
exactly.
I'm looking at your menu and your French onion ale soup looks so good. So does the house made beer cheese soup. Not even close to the burgers and the pizzas. And yeah, we're coming out for lunch, Eric, because you guys aren't that far from us.
Live show from Delville Brew House.
Have you. Yeah, we'd love to have you. And
Eric,
those recipes haven't changed since day one. So you mentioned some classics and signature items for sure.
Looks really good. We're going to put a link up to the brew house in our show notes.
Yes.
We're celebrating Beyond the Cheese with Eric Knutson from the Delafield Brew House, celebrating their 25th anniversary tomorrow. And just a reminder, they are part of our Civic Media Big Deals program. Anybody across the state can take advantage of this. Go to waukradio.com, click on the Big Deals. You can get a $40 certificate for the brew house for $28 right now. Eric, it has been such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so very, very much, and happy anniversary.
Yes, thank you so much, and just a big thank you goes out to all our loyal customers. I mean, they're really the reason the brew house has become such an iconic and local pub.
Be there tomorrow and celebrate the 25th anniversary and your chance to pick up a trip to Germany as well.
Boy.
Eric Knutson, thank you so very, very much. Stay close, everyone. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This comes to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
Beyond the cheese. Jason.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today we're talking credit scores. I mean, we all know we're supposed to have a good one, but what is a credit score? It's a number rating how likely you are to pay back a loan. Anytime you use credit, you know, like your credit card or a mortgage, the info about what you borrowed and when you paid it gets sent to three credit bureaus: TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. They track every transaction and compile detailed financial information on every single American. I mean, a little creepy, am I right? And they rate you on a scale from 300 to 850. Over 670 is good, and over 800 is excellent. Then the bureaus sell your rating to anybody who's thinking about lending you money, and you get a better or a worse deal based on your score. Best way to keep that score up is pay your bills on time. This is Carrie Joy from Work Money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. Take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Will those runway lights get bright?
Welcome back to Matinaire on Air. Jane Matinaire, Greg Mach, the Calvinator on the board. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Daily News Roundup. Our news team does a really great job curating news for really where you are.
Exactly.
So if you live in Hayward, if you live in Amory, if you live in Oshkosh, if you live in Eau Claire, it's all specially curated for you. Go to your local station, like here in Waukesha. It's waukradio.com. And then you click on the little button that says News Roundup, and they update it every day.
Every day.
And they do a really great job as well. So check that out.
And Amory.
My favorite place I've never been yet. We were just celebrating this not too long ago,
yeah,
Greg.
It
seems like it was just a couple of days ago. We were all excited about these automatic refunds that the airlines were going to have to provide for people when flights get canceled or delayed for hours and hours. It was last week. Yes. Transportation Department announced this rule requiring airlines to pay quick and automatic refunds. However, eight words into the 1,069-page document, the bill says airlines must pay refunds only, quote, upon a written or electronic request of the passenger, unquote.
So what happened there, Congress?
Interestingly enough, Greg Bach, it seems that there were four politicians.
Let me take a guess. Those politicians have friends. Those friends run airlines.
Shocking how that works, isn't it?
And really quick, folks who are listening, I know what you may be thinking. Oh, my gosh, those Republicans are just trying to stick it to the man again. I'm going to have to do all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. Well, Jane, tell us about the people who wrote this little caveat.
Yeah. Well, one of them is Ted Cruz.
Let me put on my shocked face.
From Texas. There were also several Democrats.
Yes.
Who included this.
Yes.
And upon a little further investigation, you know what we discovered, Greg Bach?
What did we discover, Jane?
Those four people who wrote this into the language just a week after we were celebrating how we consumers are finally getting a win.
That sneaky little sentence.
Those four lawmakers get a lot of money from the aviation industry.
Oh, yeah, they do. They get a lot of money.
I know everyone finds that shocking.
Yeah, they're on the top list. So if you go to a website called opensecrets.org, you can find all this information out. Who gets the most money from what lobby? And yes, these individuals get quite a bit of money from the airline lobbies. And of course, you know, that Transportation Department made the announcement, and knock comes to the door. Yeah, we need you to put this into the bill as well.
Right.
Which essentially, in my opinion, reverses it.
Yes.
It just says, It's going to be easy. They automatically send it to you as long as you, the customer, does 85 to 95% of the legwork.
That's exactly it.
We didn't get what? We didn't get a week into it.
We had a whole week of celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's back on the customer again, which is exactly the way it was before. And airlines count on people essentially not having the time to follow through on this and follow it up because it's exhausting and people have lives.
I've talked about it before. In summer of last year, I was coming back from Toronto, and next thing comes next thing, and my plane is canceled. My flight is canceled. It's their fault. They owe me money. Yep. I found that out, that if it's mechanical, they immediately have to issue you a refund. But that was not an easy refund to get. And that wasn't before them trying to get me onto another flight, which wouldn't have taken off for 2.5 more days.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're not really making it easy. I get really good at the airlines, especially at a time where they should be nice to us because those planes are literally falling apart out of the sky.
Oh, who needs doors?
Yeah. My money doesn't pay for doors.
Please.
But it's about, like, they don't have to focus on customer service. They say they do, but they don't have to. And I only say that when pointing to another story that they're talking about. You shared this with me, that they're trying to make it that if you're on a flight longer than an hour, you don't have the right to water.
Four lawmakers quietly removed language from an aviation bill guaranteeing airplane passengers the right to drink water on flights. In 2023, the House advanced an initial version of this bipartisan legislation that requires airlines provide drinking water to passengers on flights longer than an hour, because apparently some of the more budget airlines charge you for it.
Yeah.
The drinking water requirement stripped from the final version of the bill by Senator Maria Cantwell, a Democrat from Washington, Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, Representative Sam Graves, Republican from Missouri, and Representative Rick Larson, a Democrat from Washington. They lead their chamber's transportation oversight committees.
And they also have deep pockets for the plane guys.
This goes back to Tom from L.A. says this all the time. We need to get money out of politics. We absolutely do, but I don't know how that's ever going to happen.
I don't know how it's going to happen, but also I'd like to say thank you, politicians, for making it that I can't expect a 3.5 ounce cup of water on a flight.
Unless you pay for it.
Unless I pay for it.
Or you could buy a $9 bottle of water before you get on the flight.
As long as you do it after you're checked in.
Exactly. Don't do it before you go through security.
Yeah.
So. Carmela from Milwaukee is on the line. Carmela, we only got about a minute and a half left. Thank you so much for calling. What do you want to say?
I wanted to say I'm confused by, I thought the bill was passed by President Biden. So how can they retract part of the bill?
Well, I'm looking. Know? Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Again, I don't think it had been signed. And so they made some ultimate, they slipped these changes in at the last minute. We'll see where this goes. Again, we were celebrating this last week. It looked like such a good thing. And we just can't have nice things.
No.
Thank you, Carmela. Yeah. Appreciate your call. We'll follow up on that and see where the status of this is.
Oh, the status will be you will pay.
And they're also not going to make any requirements about seat sizes either.
Oh, no, they're going to get
smaller.
They're
going to keep shrinking on us.
And they're making concessions, quote unquote, for people who need two seats by charging you. And then possibly so there's an airline, I think it might be Southwest, where you can buy two seats if you absolutely need one, and they'll refund you after the fact for one of them. I don't know. Once again, they don't have to be good to us. We need them. That's the unfortunate part, because I'm not taking a boat to Mallorca.
All right. News is on the way next, and when we return, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here. It's win or die tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks and Brewers and umpires. That discussion's on the way as well. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm just sitting out here watching.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Heavy rain and thunderstorms caused voluntary evacuations by a river near Houston. That's changed, says Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo.
We are changing from voluntary to mandatory evacuation because this is different than what happened Tuesday. There's significantly higher water, which is going to impact mobility.
I-95 in Connecticut remains blocked after a tanker loaded with gasoline erupted in flame and damaged a bridge overpass. Scott Hill of Connecticut's DOT.
There is damage to the bridge, so I want to make sure everybody knows that. We don't know how extensive yet, but it's not a collapse issue and the area is safe.
Los Angeles police arrested 210 people at UCLA, clearing out an anti-Gaza war protest encampment. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
There's an increased police presence here on campus, along with calls for the chancellor to step down. Meanwhile, all classes have been moved online for the rest of the week.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. School is canceled in Mount Horeb, where a would-be school shooter put the community on high alert Wednesday. Gunshots prompted local schools to lock down for several hours. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call.
We currently believe that there is no ongoing threat to public safety. But again, this is an ongoing investigation. And we will update the public if any additional threat to safety is discovered.
Law enforcement shot and killed the shooter, who was reported to be a student at the school. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is warning online shoppers about scams. DATCAP recommends making sure everything's in order before entering personal information on any website. DATCAP says you should pay close attention to typos or other irregularities. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. In Sex and the City spinoff news, Rosie O'Donnell will join the cast of And Just Like That for Season 3. The New York Post reports that O'Donnell will play a new character named Mary in at least one episode. Actors Karen Pittman and Sarah Ramirez were written off the show following season 2. New episodes for season 3 will be available to stream in 2025. The New York Post reports that people are calling out an offensive joke in The Fall Guy. During the film, one of the characters walks into a messy trailer and says, "Looks like Johnny and Amber were here," referring to Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Hard to believe, but people on social media work themselves into a lather over a single joke about two people they've never met who aired all their dirty laundry, which included toxic verbal and physical abuse during a public trial. But make fun of a crazy couple's tidiness, you'll get posterized. I didn't find the joke offensive, but if that's the scene that sticks out in the movie, I am in less of a hurry to see The Fall Guy, which opens May 3rd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers and thunderstorms will eventually wind down here in the overnight, mid-40s by daybreak. Sunshine returning for your Friday. Highs near the 70-degree mark. West winds on the breezy side. Friday night, mostly clear and mid-40s. Currently 49 degrees.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
I've never been a big gourmet food guy. Like, I really think that the way you grow up and your palate, like, a lot of that you stick to. I wonder if it's the opposite, because I obviously don't know. If you grow up and you're eating gourmet food your whole life and everything, and you can't afford that anymore, I mean, do you adjust? Is there a Sam's Club generic version of, you know, escargot?
Of caviar, maybe? Yeah, caviar. I don't know, you know.
Yes, it's called food poisoning.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, it's another wonderful sign of the season. Saturday's fishing opener. Plus, Mark Jacob will review media coverage of the week's top stories.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jay Matt Mayer, Greg Mock, Calvin on the board. You can always join our conversation. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform Elon continues to ruin. He is here every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports balls. J.R. Radcliffe is a Journal Sentinel sports guru. Good morning, J.R. Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing quite well. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. We're excited. We're a little bit nervous. Win, stay alive tonight or die. Bucks at the Pacers. Game at 5 o'clock. You can listen to the game. News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, or on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. JR, our very own Calvin was at the game the other night in which the Bucks won. We kind of are giving Calvin the credit for that. And now without him at the game tonight, we're all a little uneasy. How do you think this is going to go?
Well, I think Calvin has time. If he leaves this second, he's going to make it.
I'm telling you, this. They pick him up. Get him on a
limo.
Plane.
Get him a limo.
This is important, the Bucks.
Yeah, they need you, Calvin. They need as much help as they can get. But really, they just need a positive vibes from the injury report. You know,
it really
is that simple. As of right now, you know, as we're talking here, it's still doubtful that Giannis and Damian Lillard are going to play. I am sure they are doing everything under their, you know, humanly possible to get out on the court. I just, game five was, you know, that was kind of an important inflection point to me because I thought, well, yes, I know they're hurt. But if you're not going to play an elimination game, that means you're still really, really hurt, right? And I don't think 2 days can necessarily be the difference between being really, really hurt and playable, you know? So even if they're available, I mean, best case scenario, let's say they are able to make it out there. You wonder what they can give you, how much, you know, how many minutes can they go? How much effectiveness can they bring you? And I mean, I still think it's worth the, well, easy for me to say, I'm not the one whose injuries are in the crosshairs. It seems like it would be worth the risk because, you know, I don't think this Bucks team, for as good as they were two nights ago, can realistically win twice more against the Pacers. So it is still do or die, and there's, you know, there will be time, unfortunately, to rest of it, you know, if they lose one of these next two games. But I don't know. I know there's some optimism out there. I'm still a little dubious that we're going to see, even if we see both of them play, we're going to see like a fully realized version of them. Now, maybe that's enough. They did win game five. They did win that game. So maybe that extra additive is just what it takes to beat a Pacers team that I think is still kind of beatable. They don't like blow me out of the water. I think it's just a situation where I don't know what they're going to have in the gas tank if they don't get those two guys back.
Calvin, yesterday you spoke on this a little bit regarding the injury of Giannis and that you feel that it's being underplayed versus the fact that it looks like it's a little more serious than it actually is.
I'm not sure. I think the fact that he's left as doubtful until the last possible minute every single game might be a little bit of psychological warfare. Like, I think they might be like trying to get in the Pacers' head that they do have to prepare for Giannis, even though he's not going to be there.
So it's a little psych.
Yeah, that's the direction I lean in. I think Indiana's a young, shakeable team, I guess is a more easier word to say.
Rattleable?
Yes, that's what I was going for at first. They're young. They've never been here before. I think there's potential for them to feel the pressure in subsequent elimination games after losing the one they should have had on Tuesday.
It sounds more like psychological warfare on us. We're the ones going, is he going to play? Is he going to? No.
I mean, I think Calvin is absolutely right. You know, they're a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in a few years. A lot of young guys. Tyrese Halliburton has never played in the playoffs. They got to figure out how to close it out. You know, that's new for them. And you know, like if you have that lingering doubt whether or not Giannis is going to play, I could see that. I think Doc Rivers is so different from other coaches. You know, other coaches would be so hesitant to give any modicum of information about their health status. Mm-hmm. And Doc is out here kind of fueling the hope and the speculation. After game five, he said, all I could say is they're very, very, very close. That's three varies for those keeping track.
I don't trust that man at all anymore. I'm sorry.
How can you not feel like three varies means, oh, they're going to play. They're definitely going to play.
He's very, Doc, very, he very.
They're close before and then they don't play. So yeah. I don't know. I will at this. I think in the past I was more like, I'll believe Giannis doesn't play when I see it. I have flipped. I feel like Giannis, I'll believe that Giannis is going to play when I see it.
Well, and you certainly don't want, as you kind of alluded to, JR, you don't want them coming out if they aren't completely healed. That's not going to help anybody. Because yeah. if they injure themselves more, even if they would win the game tonight, you know, then what? So, well, we certainly hope everybody gets healthy or as healthy as they can be. And maybe the, you know, the glow of Calvin will follow them to Indiana and and they can bring it home.
It's also tricky. You're messing with the Achilles area of your leg. And, you know, the doctor I spoke to at the very beginning didn't seem to think that the Achilles was in grave danger, at least in Giannis's case. We don't know a lot about Damian Lillard's situation, but you just don't mess around with that. Because if, let's say, you get a damaged Achilles, like, that is a lot of next year, if not all of next year, that you could be missing.
I mean, isn't that a career? That's pretty much a career ender if you tear your Achilles. That's, I mean, I know you can come back from it, but.
Right.
Not good.
Yeah, sports medicine is pretty good. Like, I would say it's probably not career ending for everybody, but it's not something, you know, there is a cost to getting more hurt in this case that would extend beyond this season, I think.
One of the things I heard talking about earlier in the on Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, who's talking to our friend Joe Zepecki, is that Giannis, he wants to play every game, start to finish. And there's no sense of, and they brought it in with the idea that people are calling for shorter regular seasons because this constant playing is creating, agitating and destroying players because they just don't stop and they're never being pulled off. What are you going to tell Giannis? You don't get to play until you're hurt. That's, you know, you got to take care of yourself. They don't want to hear this. They want to play.
Yeah. Well, and throw in a new variable this year in that the NBA, because yeah, they have all these games, but they don't want to see stars sit out. There'd been like what the NBA, I think, would term an epidemic of star players just sitting out games just for maintenance or you know, load management was the very popular terminology.
Yes. Well, yes, that's what they said this morning. He's not big on load management.
And then they introduced this stipulation that if you want to win MVP, you have to play in X number of games. You have to play in, like, Joel Embiid, for example, who had a pretty decent sized injury, completely ineligible to win MVP this year because he missed X number of games. So now it's like, well, if you want that hardware, I mean, Giannis played a lot of games this year. Damian Lillard played a lot of games this year. You can see why a player might now err on the side of not resting themselves.
Yeah.
And here's what you got. And it isn't just these guys. It's Jimmy Butler. It's Kawhi Leonard. Like, there are some stars here at this point of the year. You can't draw a direct line, I would say, yet. It's just the first year that they've done this. But tell you what, it's I don't know. Like, it's an existential challenge. You know, and no league is going to subtract money-making opportunities and take games off of the schedule. Mm-hmm. But if you want your stars to be at your best at the time when the stars, you know, are winning championships, then you have to allow for the regular season to be a little bit of a training ground and not actually, you know, the main event.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. We are talking all things sports. Let's move on to the Brewers and Brewers versus umpires. What is going on with that?
Jeez.
You know, we really felt good about toward the end of the game Wednesday that we were going to, for the first time in four games, not have some sort of umpire weirdness. And then in the ninth inning, they took the glove of the pitcher, Thiago Vieira, which in like completely understandably looks like it has a gray tone to it. It's a two-toned glove, and you're not supposed to have a gray or a white glove because that can kind of mask the baseball. So they don't want that. He had pitched with it the day before. And so now all of a sudden they cared about that glove and they're going to take it off. It's like, great. Even today when there's no craziness, we get a little bit of umpire zaniness, but it has been really interesting. We've had, go ahead.
Well, they're going to say it was Saturday, correct? Aaron Judge doesn't get called for interference Sunday. Right. And then the very next day we get called for interference
Yes.
against the Yankees. So I don't.
Yeah, that one against the Rays, but it was.
Oh, the Rays.
And different circumstances, but all of these calls have gone against the Brewers. Like, yeah. it's been a rash of them.
I really don't do conspiracy theories. I haven't the time nor the mental bandwidth. But when it comes to the MLB's just absolute despising the Brewers, I believe. And I mean, what was it? It was 2018. We did so well. They instituted new rules because we were playing so well.
Well, I mean,
agree with me, JR.
I love conspiracy, Greg. I love it. I love conspiracies. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, but like, so there were some new rules. It involves three batter minimums and things like that, where the Brewers were sort of taking advantage of the Brewers. Just they maximized their roster. They used a couple little quirks that I think ultimately baseball decided, just not for the Brewers specifically, but overall were a good thing. We can get into that. That's kind of water under the bridge, but you're not wrong, Greg. You're not wrong about some of that.
You heard
stuff.
It here,
they
folks.
They definitely found a way.
Sports guru said I was right.
Couldn't they just possibly, all these umpires becoming a little power mad? It's like, wah-ha-ha, there's only this many of us, and I'm one of them, so take that.
They're living under the threat of being replaced by robots. There's always true. That discussion. There's always that. I saw.
Would they ever really do that?
They would.
They would.
They have to perfect the science, though. That's the issue right now. The robots aren't that good yet.
Yeah.
Once they get good enough, I think maybe.
No matter my qualms with umpires, and I have a lot of them this season, I don't want to see that happen. I think there's something about a little bit of human error, because it's a game of human error. You can't perfect the game, whether you're in the field, on the mound, or batting.
Yeah. Well, but if we're gonna have robots as umpires, then just have robots as players.
That's a good idea. I like that.
take humans out of it altogether, and we're it's gonna be a great game.
Mark Antanasio will never go for it. He'd have to pay money for them.
Oh,
ouch! Sticking it to power.
Oh.
So just to be clear, the robot piece is really just for balls and strikes. Like having an automated strike zone, you would actually still have a human being behind home plate, hearing what the call is, and then providing that the plays in the field would still be adjudicated by human beings. So like, we're not like totally there yet, and the process needs to get tweaked. It's been in the minors. We've had a lot of work on it. I don't know how close we are, but as far as the umpires here at the Brewers, they admitted they got that Aaron Judge call wrong on Sunday, that they should have called interference. The Yankees went on to score 7 runs that inning. It was a 10-run game. I have a hard time believing the Brewers win that game anyway, but you can at least make the argument that that was a really important miss. And they admitted it was a miss.
It's just a bad look when it's the biggest team and one of the biggest players.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like favoritism. And then the very next night we get caught. I mean, it just doesn't. It's a bad look.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think there's a bit of an ump problem. I just saw a video of an ump not allowing the team dog to bring a bat off. And he took it out of the mouth of the dog. Some of these guys are just mean. I don't like them.
Yeah.
Make it stop, JR and Jane.
I think the issue of transparency is the thing that people really are frustrated with. Sometimes these calls get made and there is a little bit of information, but there are umpires that everyone knows are really bad and nothing really seems to get done about it. Yeah. There's one guy in particular, Angel Hernandez. I mean, that's a name everyone kind of knows around baseball. So it would be nice if there was maybe a little bit more. I will say that in this case, like the Monday play where the Brewers were called for backswing interference, I don't understand that rule. I think the rule is really trash. The adjudication of it was correct. They handled it correctly, as the rule book indicates. It makes no sense to me as a rule. I think, you know, if we're talking about changing the rules for something that happened in a Brewer game, that should be, you know, case study number one. And then the Tuesday they eject a pitcher that I think it's highly debatable that he was throwing at the batter that he hit with a pitch. I think it's pretty unnecessary for them to have ejected the pitcher right away. And I think that ends up leading to elevated temperature, teams going at each other. You know, if de-escalation is part of their job, they didn't handle that well. So definitely areas where I think the umpires could have done things differently. I don't think anyone's out to get the Brewers. I do not think there's a conspiracy. Not yet. I'm always willing to be convinced of a good conspiracy theory, though. I love diving off the deep end.
We got a couple of weeks. We'll see what Greg can come up with before you come back. J.R. Radcliffe is with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk about sports. Thank you so much, J.R. We'll see you in a couple.
All right. See you soon.
One break left. Stay close and stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Streetlight fever. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, 855-752-4842. If you would ever like to join the conversation, you can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. News is coming up at noon, followed by the wonderful Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. and Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4. So stay with us all throughout the day. Lots of good stuff coming your way. We're going to stop wrap things up today with a little Christy Noem cricket update. Christy Noem, the governor of South Dakota. We talked about this, I think, Monday.
Yeah.
Out with a new book where she talks about how she can handle doing tough things because she had a hunting dog that she hated. And so she took it to a gravel pit and shot it, along with a male goat that had apparently not been castrated and could be aggressive and violent with kids.
Yeah.
Then I would, and then I would think you would castrate the goat.
Yeah, I don't really.
She also shot the goat.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's saying this is all fake news. That's not what happened. People are misconstruing what I said.
No, we're not. We're saying the words you said.
It's in the book. The book, Noem says her description of killing a dog and goat illustrates her willingness to do anything, quote, difficult, messy, and ugly, unquote, in politics, as well as on her farm in South Dakota. Noem says cricket ruined a pheasant hunt and then killed a neighbor's chickens while presenting a picture of pure joy. I hated that dog, she writes. That cricket tried to bite her, proved herself untrainable, less than worthless as a hunting dog. At that moment, Noem says, I realized I had to put her down. Again, she's completely just, you know, I stand by this. I did this. And I guess good for her. If you're going to own it, you put it in the book. Although, who was defending her? Oh, I think it was someone on Fox.
A psychopath?
It was someone on Fox who said maybe she didn't know that was going to be in the book and someone just slipped it in there to make her look bad.
My God. God. Okay. So first of all, this is giving me very January 6 vibes in the sense of here's the thing that happened. Here's the information we have. Nope. I'm changing the information. You know what I mean? Like she said she
did it
4 days ago, four days ago. She said, I did this. You have to do these things. You have to make tough decisions. Tough decisions. That was a dumb decision. Because once we've talked about this, and other people have as well. Get it to a better trainer. Get it to classes. If you can't do it, give it to the Humane Society. There are options. Not just, well, ate a chicken and looked at me and smiled, I guess we're going to put a bullet in an old cricket's head.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, what used to be Twitter. Carmela on the line again. Good morning, Carmela. What did you want to say about this? We only got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, good. I have a pin on my purse that says, being a good human matters. And I think that's enough said about this woman and all these people, vile people, I might add. But I missed JR, and I wanted to ask about the Bucks. And maybe the Calvinator can help, but what does he think about Thanasis out of Senecupo being a bench warmer and never being played? And what's the point of having him besides being a cheerleader for Giannis when everybody else is trying to step up? And this is the time that I really miss Drew Holiday.
Thanks, Carmela. Calvinator, can you answer Carmela's question?
I think him being a cheerleader for Giannis is honestly the biggest reason he's on the team.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. You have one of the best players in the NBA. He is on a big contract. He has a lot of leverage where he's at, so it's like you keep his brother around to make him happy. But I will say he was offered a contract on another team in the offseason. He's not a terrible player. There's 12 roster spots. A lot of times only 8 or 9 players get in the game. So there's other factors of why he's not. Doesn't play that much.
I'm to the knowledge being dropped by the Calvinator.
I think Calvagia is a sports show. I'm also just announcing today that I'm changing my name to Greg Antetokounmpo. I'll be a cheerleader. I'll sit on the bench. That bench will never hit the ceiling. My big butt will be on that bench cheering on my brother Giannis. Go Bucks.
Thank you for calling, Carmela. Thank you as always very much for listening. I wanted to wrap this up because on Twitter this morning, there is now a political caucus of dog lovers, so headed by Jared Moskowitz from Florida, and also Nancy Mace, who is a Republican, and now politicians from all sides of the aisle are taking pictures with their dogs and forming the let's not kill our dogs caucus, which I have to kind of like.
There are better things to do with their time.
There are many better things they could do with their time, but as Carmela said, I think we can all agree that don't do that.
Yeah, be a good human.
Be a good human to other creatures.
Jack from Merrimack texts in saying, I hated that, quote unquote, I hated that dog, so she killed it. Sort of tells you what she'll encourage her cultists to do to whatever or whomever they hate. Now, that is a very big statement, Jack. But the thing is people like that, when you disappoint them, what will your punishment be? And if they run the country, what are they going to do to the people that, quote unquote, disappoint them or disagree with them? They're going to have these hardline opinions on what should be done to them, whether it's taking away the right to vote, lock them in jail, or worse, because they have to make what, Jane? The hard decisions. So, yeah, that's psychopathic behavior to say, like, I killed the dog because it bit me. What are you doing?
Well, we're going to leave it there for today. News.
Have a good Thursday.
News is coming up next. Todd Alba will be here from noon to 2. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Greg and Calvin and our engineers, thank you so much. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for texting and for calling and for listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yes, I do. That's a game on me, yeah. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Crude and Dom. Tune in for the Devil's Advocates radio show. Fascism on the march, even here in the state of Wisconsin. The only thing that may preserve democracy. Guilty Trump.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that.
You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.